Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
March into spring with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered 1-gig internet for $59.99 per month, plus a $150 gift card and price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with a free modem, free installation, and free Wi-Fi your way home. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and manage user access for all connected devices with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires May 6, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
My name is Nicole Byer, and I feel excited about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
Hey, that was nice.
I couldn't think of another word.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there, it's Conan O'Brien once again, assuming you've listened to one of these before. If not, I have no idea where you've been, but let's put that aside. Why start on a resentful note for no reason? Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. You can see now why I don't have a lot of them. This is the show where I use the podcast format in a devious way to find out if I can make friends, find out why people aren't better friends with me. Basically just use this to my own selfish purposes. And it's really fun. I'm having a blast. I'm helped, as always, by my assistant, Sona Movsesian. Hello, Sona.
Hey, Cones.
Let's go easy on that, shall
we? I'm sorry. That felt really awkward.
Yeah, it was awful. It was terrible.
I'm sorry.
Please. Are you ever going to go? You never called me Mr. O'Brien, did you?
No. Even I call your dad Dr. O'Brien.
Yes. Well, he is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I call my mother Admiral O'Brien just for fun. yes.
No.
Even when we first met, you didn't call me. 10 years. You've been with me 10 years.
Yes.
The time we first met, I remember it very clearly. You didn't call me Mr. O'Brien.
No.
You were probably like, "Yo, dude," right? At our interview.
No, I think that when we first started working, there was a lot of professionalism between the two of us.
For how long?
I would say 3 months, and then you heard me speaking to my grandma on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, "What was that? It sounded like you were arguing with Dracula."
Well, because you were speaking Armenian and I didn't even know you could speak Armenian.
Yeah.
And so to my untrained ear, I thought you were arguing with a vampire.
Oh, okay. That's all.
That wasn't culturally insensitive.
Hey, that was an interesting language you were speaking. What was that?
I thought that Dracula was mad at you for not bringing his native soil to this country so he could sleep. And that you were straightening out the problem. We're also joined by Matt Gourley, who's an expert on everything, I'm finding out. Probably an expert on Dracula. Did you know that he has to sleep in his native soil?
I did. Bram Stoker wrote that book in journals, in the form of journals.
God, you know what? I said to Gourley just a few minutes ago before we started recording, could you do me a favor? When I know about something, can you not then reveal that you know more? I was kidding.
Yeah.
You do have an incredible amount of knowledge, and every time I think I've got this one, I know a lot about Ulysses S. Grant's second term. I know a lot about the Teapot Dome scandal. Gourley sits there like a cat that ate the canary, just licking his lips, and then you lean in and go, "I actually own Grant's corpse. I bought it at auction." I'm like, what?
But I don't do this to one up you. I do this to augment and have a conversation.
There
and
is
build
no
a relationship.
There's no augment. There's no augment. There's only one up in my world.
Mm.
You know, you didn't augment. You one upped. You made me look like a fool.
I'm sorry.
In front of my loyal podcast listeners.
Well,
who are probably wondering why it's taking me so long to start today's show.
Let's get to it, Cones.
Ugh. I hate that nickname. Well, today I'm very excited because we're going to talk to someone I really, really love, and I enjoy her comedy so much. And I will say this, I do think she's the opposite of me in so many ways. And that's one of the reasons I like her so much. She's the anti-Conan, and I love her for that. Nicole Byer is here. Nicole. I think we have good chemistry whenever you're on my show.
Yes.
And this is one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you on the podcast. Every time, uniformly, people are like, oh my God, get Nicole Byer back. It's so funny when you two are together because we, I don't know how to put it. We have like a good yin yang kind of thing going on.
You're a very good straight man to my wackadoodleness.
I didn't know. Yes, it is wackadoodle. I did look it up.
Yes.
In Webster's, and it is mm-hmm. wackadoodleness.
Yes, yes, yes.
But you know what is fun is you, you know, we all make a caricature a little bit out of our real selves for mm-hmm. comedy. But the truth is, I am, when you peel away all the layers, I am a repressed person. And I am uptight, and I grew up in a world where nobody talked about sex. And so when I'm with you and you come out and you're this force of nature and you are the complete opposite, people love, you're hilarious. So they love laughing at all the things you're saying. And then I think there are laughs as they just cut to me and I look queasy.
Perfect. It's very funny and very perfect.
And it's based somewhat in reality.
Yeah. The way our interviews come across is the way my life with my sister is. I say a lot of wild things and she's like, please stop. My sister's very tiny and quiet and doesn't like sexual things.
Please stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So you that probably makes you go further.
Oh, it makes me so happy to say awful things to her because I just love her face when she's like, oh, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Why did you?
Why would you say that? Like, I love screaming at her in public places because she's like, no, I don't want this. It's just very funny.
Is she your younger sister?
No, she's older.
Oh, my
God. So she was alive for a while and then I came to torment her.
Yeah. Yeah. She had some time on Earth, a brief time where she mm-hmm. was at peace.
Yeah, she had a year and a half of being like, oh, okay, this is how the world works. And then I was born and was like, fuck that, you dumpster. I'm kidding. She's not a dumpster. She's perfect and wonderful.
She's perfect in every way, yet she has to feel pain.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the other thing, too, that I can, this is where we're similar, I can relate to. I love the people I torment. Mm-hmm. I think that is a misunderstanding. I mean, I torment my assistant, Sona. I do love Sona. I really mm-hmm. care about Sona, but it's too much. I can't stop. And my dad called me when I was 5 years old. He said that his nickname for me was Tease Man because I would just go around the house and I would try and get to different mm-hmm. people in the house. And I love my brothers and sisters, but I realized I had professional level abilities at a young age and I needed to use them and sharpen them.
It's fun to watch how something you do can affect somebody.
Yes.
Like, I mean, and it's not in a negative way, because at the end of the day, they know that it's out of love.
Yeah.
Like, my sister knows I love her and I'm not trying to actually hurt her feelings, but it's just very funny to watch the levels of her getting annoyed. Like, my dad's dead, but when he was alive, I would park my car at the end of the driveway so he could get his car out. So I'd park my car, he'd be in the garage, and I'd run to him in slow motion screaming, Papa! Papa! And he'd always go, why? Why are you doing this? Why? Please, why? And I was just so funny. It's just funny that you can make people react in a, not a way that you know they're going to react, but like just getting a reaction out of someone is fun.
My mom is this, you know, is a terrific mom and was always a great mom. And she's still with us. And she's, but when we were growing up, she would have company over and very loving mom, but I realized that I could make people who were visiting think that she was an overly strict disciplinarian by the way I reacted to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd come into the room and my mom would say, Conan, could you go get the lemon wafers so we can have with our tea? And I would bow my head and I'd go, yes, ma'am, I'll do it directly. And I'd scurry out and she would... Everyone would look at my mom like, what have you done to him?
That's so funny.
And then I would come back in the room and go, here are the cookies. Is there anything else? And she'd be like, no, Conan, it's fine. Maybe you could get us the spoons and be like, yes, directly. I kept saying yes, directly.
Directly is
yes.
very funny. Yes, directly.
Directly. I think I was 8. And I just realized that, yeah, I can fuck with my mom this way and make her look bad in front of her friends. Like, why? I love my mom. I don't know why I was doing that.
Because it's funny.
Yes.
Because it's so funny to, like, you leave the room and you're like, what was that conversation she had with her friends?
Yes.
Do they all look at each other awkwardly, or are they like, what are you doing to Lil Conan?
Yes.
Why does he directly have to get the spoons?
I'll do it directly. I'll do it. And a lot of head nodding, yes, and a lot of me shaking a little bit like, yes, I'll take care of it. But okay, let's get to the crux of the matter here,
right,
which is, it's something that I both envy about you and admire about you. And of course, I find it horrifying while it's happening, is that you are so open about your sex life, your sexual desires, your sexual needs, as they were, and even the way that I'm describing it in a very clinical way.
It's very funny.
But let's get into that. You'll come out on the show and you'll say,
yes, during the pre-interview, I think of the second time I was on the show, mm-hmm, I cannot remember the producer's name, but he was like,
I fire them regularly.
Oh, well, perfect.
Yeah, so just for fun.
Some little idiot who no longer has a job was like, what are you looking for in a man? And I was like, a big dick. And he was like, are you going to actually say that? I was like, well, can I? And he was like, say whatever you want. I was like, great.
Yeah, you came out on the show and I said, so what are you looking for in a man? And you said, a big dick. And if you look... If you look at the then they cut to me, and you can actually see my soul leave my body and go up to heaven. My soul, I just leave. I leave my body and I go up to heaven to go be with my grandparents.
Perfect reaction.
I want to be with my grandparents.
Be like, this lady killed me.
Yeah. And then my grandparents are like, what was that about a big dick? And I'm like, I got to go back down. So then I came back down to earth and got back in my body. But first of all, let's address that, because I've always been assured by women.
Yes.
That the penis size is irrelevant.
No. Well, okay. Sometimes the penis size is irrelevant, but some people are size queens. I like a big dick. But also, I could do like a bigger than average dick. So not like a huge one, but like bigger than average.
So what are we talking about there specifically?
Well, I've never really held a ruler to anybody. Mm-hmm. But
what if one had held a ruler to oneself? Then one might be able to judge by the numbers you give.
6 is average, I think.
Is it?
I think.
Gross.
I think.
Okay.
So 7's above average.
Am I perspiring?
No.
Okay.
You look dry as a cucumber. That's a saying, right?
I don't believe it.
Dry
is.
Dry as a cucumber.
Wow, cucumber. What an interesting image.
Oh, so you're pushing this paper further and further away from
me. Yeah, I'm trying to get away from you now.
Does it just say dick all over it?
Listen to me.
I can't have it near me.
Listen to me.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, I've often heard, you know, 3 is plenty. What? Where'd you go? She just left the room, ladies
man.
And gentlemen.
If...
No,
3. And I've seen small ones.
Oh, you have? And what do you tell? First of all, I'm going to assure everyone listening, I'm playing a part here, having a little bit of fun. But man, I'm in good shape that way.
Conan's now fidgeting. He pulled his phone out.
I just realized that the phone was on, and I'm getting a text from my doctor. And hey, 4. He says 4 inches.
Okay.
So there
four
we go.
4 inches is okay.
Yeah, I had that checked with my doctor recently. No, but okay. I want to ask you this.
Yes.
Okay, when you were with a man,
yes,
and then he did the voila moment, and it was not what you were hoping for.
The voila moment.
Well, I'm imagining he was holding a magician's red blanket over it, and then whipped it aside and said,
he didn't say abracadabra. He said voila.
He said voila,
uh-huh,
and there you saw less than what you wanted.
Yes.
What do you say in that moment?
Oh my. And he went, oh yeah. And I was like, I'm confused.
Okay. So it almost was going into his body practically.
Not like going in, but I guess it was like 2 little inches.
Oh my God.
It was very tiny.
Yeah.
And I didn't have time to be like, I don't want that. So I fucked him anyway, because that's what women do. We are kind, gentle people who won't insult you to your face, but you know.
Sona, do you want to pipe up here?
I don't know if I do.
Oh, you don't?
Maybe. You know,
you
mean when you're in it too far in.
Yeah, well, you're
like
I do want to, yes.
Yeah. My mom will never listen to this.
No.
Let's
rest assured.
I know exactly what she's saying.
My parents will never hear this because they don't understand how a podcast works.
Oh, perfect.
And my dad keeps saying, we're looking forward to seeing that.
Oh.
And I keep saying, no, it's on. And he's like, is it on the radio? And I'm like, not really. You need a computer. So it's quite clear they're never going to hear it. And Sona, your people, they don't have a radio or a computer. So it's
fine. Your people have no technology.
My people. No, they have technology.
I meant your family. They're...
Oh, that's what you meant.
Yeah, the Armenian people.
That's less offensive. You just mean my family's...
I just meant your family.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they have technology. But no, I get what Nicole's saying, and yes, she's right. When you're in too far, you can't just abort suddenly.
You can't,
just because of
you
that.
You can't say, wait a minute, that just doesn't measure up. I'm out of here and jump out a window.
Yeah, because it was my house.
That'd be great if you jumped out the window of your own
house
and
like,
ran away. The house is yours.
You can have it.
The lease is in the desk. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I do. I would love a big dick.
Well, we're getting
and a man with a couch for me to sit on so we can just cuddle. I want that too. So it's not all about the dick.
No.
So
you need a couch.
Just a couch.
About your stand.
So the couch would be just. I thought you meant I need a couch too, where he will rest the dick.
No. Yes.
A giant couch.
Yes, I want him to have such a big dick that he has to rest it on a couch, and then I get to limbo under it before we fuck.
Okay, limbo under the right.
Oh, now that made you so upset.
No. I'm doing the math in my head.
Oh, okay.
This will never air. This will be sent out in his transcript form. And you'll have to get it in a brown envelope in the mail. But you know what? Okay, you know, penises, or as I think you refer to them as dicks, aside, Sona, stop your cackling.
You're so uncomfortable. This is my favorite thing.
I all of that aside, what I applaud is women saying what they want.
I'm just making up for lost time. I used to work a stand-up show in New York where it was mostly just men, and they would talk a lot about women's bodies, and I was waitressing during it, and I was like, this sucks. I hate this. So I guess it's my way of being like, I don't know.
Here's
some of it back at you.
Guess what? I love that. So let's talk about that.
You know who hates it?
Who?
Men on Reddit. There's so many Reddit threads about how awful I am. They're like, I can't believe she won't stop talking about dicks. And I'm like, I don't know. Men talk about titties all the time.
Yes, they do. And that's fascinating to me because I didn't realize. So you were working, waitressing in stand-up clubs, and you're watching guy after guy after guy go up and do material about women's bodies. Mm-hmm. And then you're saying, all right. If that's how we're going to play it.
Yeah, why can't I?
Right. I love that.
Also, I genuinely love dicks. So, like, why not talk about the things you love?
I was just going to say it. You love the dick.
I do. Okay, let's talk about something else.
Okay, let's talk about
pussy.
Yeah. All right. You were married once.
Yes.
Okay. But it wasn't a situation. It was an unusual situation, wasn't it?
Yeah. I got like $30,000 in debt in a year because people just kept giving me credit cards. And I kept spending and spending.
Right.
I had nothing to show for it except for a lot of drunken nights. And then I was trying to figure out how to like pay it off without, because like if you pay the minimum, you're never going to pay off your credit card bill. So then I was like, I just like got the idea. I don't know if I saw it online or something, but I was like, ooh, green card marriages. If I marry someone, he pays me, I pay off my debt, and easy breezy, don't have to tell my dad. So then I got married, and
who
then...
Who did you marry? Who was it that you got married to?
To a nice small Indian man. I won't say his name.
Okay.
The way I met him is so stupid. So my roommate at the time also got married for money, and she and her friend were at a gas station in Queens, met this man, and he jokingly said, I would love to marry someone so I could stay here. And they were like, we got a girl for you. So then my roommate and her friend, who I call Pikachu, picked me up in a PT Cruiser. So like the whole story's stupid.
Yeah, but you gave me a lot of information where I can actually track these people down. Pikachu and PT Cruiser, that's not a popular car, and that's not a common name.
No.
So I'm writing all this down for the
The police report.
The police report, yeah.
So then they took me to this gas station. I met him, and then we like got along. And then I hung out with him another time. Then I hung out with him another time. And then we decided to get married. We got married at a courthouse in Queens.
So there was no romantic relationship.
No.
Okay.
No. Then I had like my mail sent to his place, would like make appearances there. And then my dad passed away. And then I told him I needed some time in between our interviews. And then when I tried to contact him again, he just never returned my phone calls. And then I was like, I can't stay married. So in the state of New Jersey, you can serve your husband divorce papers, and all you need to do is to serve them, and you are granted a divorce.
So oh.
Then, yeah, my sister drove me to the Freehold courthouse early in the morning, and I was granted a divorce.
So did this gentleman have to leave the United States?
I don't know. He literally never contacted me again.
Wow. This is an interesting case if anyone wants to look into it. Were you scared at all about people, I mean, the law getting in touch with you and saying...
No.
Yeah.
I kind of just live.
You just live.
I just live, and if things happen, they happen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was a reckless youth.
You really are the opposite of me in every way, because all I do is think about consequences. I've never lived... Sona, have I ever really lived?
Have
I really lived?
No. He's never really lived.
I think, I worry, I try to live up to certain standards.
But you're very successful.
Yeah. I mean, there are many ways to be successful. I think there are... My journey... I have a long way to go on my journey. I think okay. There are a lot of ways where I could chillax a little bit. Mm-hmm. Sona, is that the correct?
He's been a good boy his whole life.
I've been a good boy my
Let
whole
loose.
Life. And I think at my age, after the career I've had, it's time to completely fall apart.
Yeah, and go to Amsterdam, get a hooker, take some mushrooms, and fuck.
Now, will you speak to my wife about this? Because I do love my wife.
Bring her with you.
She doesn't like to travel like that.
Oh.
And also, I think she'll be against several parts of what you just said.
Oh, okay.
I think the only part she'd be okay with is the mushrooms, if they were regular mushrooms on top of, like, a pasta.
Okay.
Not hallucinogenic mushrooms.
All right, fair.
She'd want them sautéed with garlic in a butter sauce, but she would be against, very much against everything. Thing else.
Okay. What
and,
about?
And also, Sona will tell you this: if I did anything like that, I would just weep with regret.
Cry.
I would cry. But, you know, that's the joke Sona has with me: is that if I ever, you know, she would be like, "Oh no! If you ever even thought about straying from your marriage, you would just start crying."
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
that's
it's not
true.
Straying if you bring her with you. That is exploring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you don't have to. Wait, you have kids too, right?
I have two children, yeah.
Oh, so you have like a whole life.
I do.
That's
nice. I do
nice.
Have a whole life. All joking aside, I'm very happy with my life. It's just I don't think I need to go to the Amsterdam, sexual romp that
okay.
you described. I don't have to necessarily do that.
You could go to Joshua Tree, take, ayahuasca with a shaman and let him guide your spiritual journey as you wear a loincloth? I don't know.
I would be
upset. You poop a lot.
What?
When you do ayahuasca, you poop a lot.
Oh, really?
And you vomit all, like, for hours.
Yeah, I never saw the appeal of ayahuasca. Every time
unsubscribe. I didn't know that.
Every time I've looked into it, people say, I love how Sona's right in there with the pooping.
Sorry.
She's like, oh, let me weigh in on this. Have you done it, Sona?
I've never done it. I know a lot of people who have.
Okay.
Yeah,
and apparently
a lot
there's
of vomiting.
Apparently there's a lot of vomiting, and there's a lot of, defecating, I think is the scientific
pooping.
Term.
Pooping. Shitting.
Okay. I'm like the librarian and Van Halen's come into the library and they're performing live and I'm running around saying, shh, shh, and shutting doors and shh, and David Lee Roth is just, because it's the David Lee Roth Van Halen that I'm imagining. And I'm like, please, please, the library's closing.
I don't think
Van Halen.
I know a Van Halen song because I'm very young and black. What can you hum one for me?
I probably can't because then we'd have to pay for it.
Ah, okay.
Go for it.
Never
really?
Mind.
Yeah. Panama, dun 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 dun. Panama, ha ho ha ha ho. Panama, she's got a steamer, a machine.
Oh boy, I wish there was a camera in here. Three older white gentlemen are
yeah.
real. really feeling their lives.
I brought my pencil.
Listen.
I've never heard that song one day in my life.
Nicole, please, don't tell me, don't try to pretend that 80s Van Halen isn't huge in the African-American community.
I don't think so.
Excuse me, I beg to differ.
But the Sammy Hagar version is, right?
Sammy Hagar, who that be?
I think...
Who is Sammy Hagar?
Nicole, can I just tell you that there are so many black people listening to you right now who are embarrassed for you because they're all really into the Van Halen of the 80s. Oh,
good Lord, I'm letting my people down.
You are really letting your people down.
Oh, fuck.
You're going to be ostracized from your community.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
exactly.
But who is Sammy Hagar?
He was a guy... See, now we're explaining to you the replacement singer for a band you don't give a shit about. So what's the point?
All right.
You know, but I
don't know. Maybe I'll go home and listen to the Halens. The Van Halen.
No. You shouldn't. I mean, they have an amazing guitarist. Really just superb guitarist in Eddie Van Halen. And nothing but respect for him. But no, I don't think it's going to change your life. I don't think it's for you.
Okay.
What music are you listening to?
What do I listen to? I mean, I listen to a lot of Cardi B right now.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, like, SoundCloud rappers.
Sure.
I like silly music with, like, silly lyrics.
Right. So you like silly rap? Do you like rap that's not taking itself too seriously?
Yes.
What about the boasting rap about, sexual conquest and all? Are you cool with that?
Yeah, sure. My favorite right now is Lil Pump because he's very silly. He just truly brags about, like, what he has and that he went to Harvard even though he didn't go to Harvard. And that's very funny to me to have a bit in your rap career about going to Harvard.
Wait a minute. He has a bit about going to Harvard?
Yeah, he's like, I dropped out of Harvard. And it's like, he never went to Harvard.
I just
it's
love
so funny
that of all of the bragging that's done, you know what I mean? Of all the bragging that's done in rap, I've never heard someone brag about their Ivy League credentials.
Yep. It just seems like he'll take pictures next to the Harvard crest when he's like in Boston. I guess that's where Harvard is.
Yeah,
but he's never been. It's so funny to me.
That's so cool. I would feel that nothing would damage your rap reputation more than people knowing that you had even gone through that application process and hung out with a bunch of nerds, you know?
Oh, I also listen to a lot of Celine Dion.
Mm. Oh, do you like Celine Dion?
I love Celine Dion. I've seen her in concert. She's great. Oh, I love her. She does a mini monologue, a loose 10 in between each song. I love her.
She has jokes and stuff?
I mean, she talks. But a lot of it's just like, this is what I was feeling today. You will have to listen because you bought a ticket. I'm Celine Dion.
And
she said that a couple times.
And people
I'm Celine Dion.
She says, I'm Celine Dion?
Mm-hmm. It's like, bitch, we know it's on the ticket.
I got to start doing that. I've got to start saying, I'm Conan O'Brien.
I'm Conan O'Brien. Yeah, right. Why not?
It's probably something I will be doing when I have dementia. they'll have that like on a card in my room.
Hi, I'm Conan O'Brien.
You did well. Here's your pudding. You'll come visit me, won't you?
In the hospital?
Yeah, when I lose my mind.
To make you change your will. Yes.
Wait, do you know what's in his will?
I don't, but
yeah, maybe,
whatever it is,
how do
when you
know?
Have dementia, I'll just bring it over to you and have you change a few things.
Oh, how do you know that?
I'll never leave you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
She really won't. We're besties. We're besties, right?
We're pals.
I said besties.
I know.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's.
Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I've often found whenever I do something ridiculous, there's always someone who takes it very seriously and says, Conan just admitted to murder on stage. I must call the police.
Yeah, I think people are confused about jokes and sarcasm now.
Yeah.
I think everyone takes everything literally. And it's like, no, a lot of it's just a joke.
Right. It's interesting out there right now. We're going through a big change right now.
But a weird thing is I feel like people are getting sensitive about you for you. Like I did a bunch of fat jokes on my special, and when I was working them out, anytime I told one, people would just go, oh,
I know.
Oh,
yes.
You're not fat, you're beautiful. I'm like, well, no, I am. I could be both, but I am fat. You can't negate that. What are you going to say? I'm not black. Like, there are just things that are true. And then I had to figure out jokes to be like, here's a joke about it being okay that I'm going to talk about being fat, which is just, it feels like a extra fat that I didn't need to do, like maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
But I feel like everyone now is so sensitive.
Yes.
That you kind of have to do that. But then I don't want to say that everyone is so sensitive, because it is good that we are sensitive.
No, but I think you should be allowed to talk about yourself. I have had the situation I can relate to. I've been self-deprecating my whole life, and I come by it honestly because I grew up with low self-esteem and a lot of anxiety, and then gradually overcame a lot of that. But that's a real part of my comedy. And then there are nights where I go out and I make jokes about myself, mm-hmm. and the crowd does it. They go like, no, mm-hmm. no, you're not a nerd, or no, you're not. And I think, well, I'm okay. I like myself. I really do.
Yes.
I do like myself at the end of the day, but this was just, I was just trying to make a joke.
Yeah, and it's weird that people think that I want to get on stage and have people go, well, I feel for you. It's like, no, I invited you to this dark room to ha ha ha.
Right. I actually find it refreshing that no matter how long you do this for and who you are and how much name recognition you have, the thing about comedy is that if you do it for long enough and you're out there, I don't care who you are, you're going to find yourself in a situation where some of your stuff isn't clicking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons I really envy musicians, because a musician can go out, let's say, just pick anybody, but just pick any musician.
Beyonce.
Let's say Beyonce. Beyonce can go out, and I can't imagine Beyonce having a bad experience on stage. Now, she can go backstage and say, I didn't like the sound.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't sound right to me. I didn't like the mix. The lighting wasn't at the right place. So she can be unhappy for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like this dancer was a little off. But nobody listens to a famous musician and says, I like this, but this part of the crowd, this part of the song, they really lost me there, but then mm-hmm. they got me back. Comedians are judged moment to moment to moment to moment to moment, and it doesn't matter what level you get to. It's what have you got today?
And also, you have to continuously put out new material. Nobody wants to come see you. If they've watched your special, they don't want the same jokes. With a musician, you can play the same song.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life, and
yes.
People are happy.
People are delighted. Exactly. You can go out there. There's no, I don't see why they'd be nervous beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Because is Beyonce really backstage singing, thinking, oh, I wonder if they're going to like Crazy in Love tonight. Are they going to like it tonight? Or are they going to sort of start booing halfway through?
Yeah,
no. She's not worried about that.
No, not at all. She's like, they're going to love this new arrangement because I was bored of how it was.
Yeah. I mean, she could just say the words quietly and
mm-hmm.
people would
and we'd all be like, this is fun for me.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. You bring up an interesting thing, which is happening now. There's so many outlets. That's the good news for
mm-hmm.
stand-up. The bad news is that you can spend a year, maybe a year and a half, working out an hour that you really like, and then you do it for Netflix or you do it for somebody,
mm-hmm.
do it for HBO, you do it for someone, bang, they did it, and then it's what else you got.
Yeah, then you have to start at zero and work yourself back up to the hour. That has been very hard because I put out a half hour, so then I truly only had to get a half hour worth of material, but then it came out New Year's Day, and the months leading up to it, Hollywood and like LA is kind of shut down. So like there weren't very many shows. So then I was like, I don't know how I'm going to figure out this new material. And then it came out and I was like, well, I have to fucking figure it out. So I just did show after show after show after show and finally figured it out. But it was a lot of work. And I don't know how people do it.
Yeah. I'm always amazed at someone like a John Mulaney who just seems
God,
to.
Yes.
And Jim Gaffigan, mm-hmm. they just seem to, I think if you forbade them from doing any joke they've ever told before and said, yeah, it's against the law now for you to do anything you've ever said before, now go to your room, they'd be back a few hours later mm-hmm. with another.
With like a full hour.
A full hour.
Nikki Glaser's a lot like that.
Yeah, Nikki Glaser.
She's yep. a joke machine. Michelle Wolf. I'm very envious of people like that. But also, like, I don't know their process. I don't yeah. know if they're just, who knows? It's wild.
I don't know. I don't think I have a process. Do I have a process? I don't think I have a process.
What are you, for the show?
I don't even think I have a process. I think I
am. Yeah, you, well, I mean, it's very collaborative. Yep. You are very collaborative.
Yes, I
think
I work
that
with a
you
bunch
like
of people.
To have a lot of other voices come in and give you opinions. You like listening to what other people have to say.
Well, I like them to start to give their opinion. And the minute it's not what I want,
you go, I like shut up.
I go, shut up.
We have to tell them it's, everything's good all the time.
Do you realize who I am? Do you realize who I am? Do you realize who you're talking to? All right, so I want to get back to your life because I'm curious if you're using the apps. Are you using the apps?
Yes.
That's a world that I've never lived in. I don't belong in that world.
You're very lucky.
Am I lucky?
Yes.
Because I don't know how I would deal with it. How do you deal with the apps? If I was on apps, I wouldn't know what was happening.
It's awful. It's like everybody has a billion people in their pocket and they're just swiping away. I'm on so many apps. I'm on Tinder. I'm on Bumble, OkCupid, Raya, Hinge.
I don't even know what some of these are. What's Riot?
Raya is an exclusive one where you have to apply to get on it. And then another member has to like vouch for you or whatever. And then there's like semi-famous people on it. And you're not allowed to take screenshots. Otherwise you get kicked off. And they put me on a waiting list for 2 full years.
Is that true?
Uh-huh.
So are there celebrities on this? What's it called again?
Celebrities. Raya.
Raya.
It's a lot of DJs in Australia.
The lowest ring of hell. Dante did say at the very last level of hell, there's maybe a bunch of Australian DJs.
Ugh.
Sorry, DJs in Australia, but you had that coming and you know it. Wow. So you're on these different apps. I'm curious, maybe this is just an idea I'm having right now, but an app for married men that don't want to fool around, but we just want to know what women think of us.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm interested in.
Honestly?
No, I'm serious because—
That's a good idea.
Like, okay, Conan O'Brien, very happily married, loves his wife, loves his kids, doesn't want to do anything, doesn't even want to meet you, but what do you think? And then I would read the comments and they'd be like, he's got no lips. He's got beady eyes. I hate him. You know, whatever. I would probably read all those. But occasionally
you'd be posting all those.
That's true.
I mean, you could just ask for it now on your podcast. Start a Reddit thread about your opinions about Conan.
You know, his dateability.
His dateability. If you think he's dateable.
His
dick size.
Well, no, let's not get into that.
I thought you were leading me back to that.
You know, would you do this guy?
Would you do him?
Yeah, you know, and then it would be a way that I could keep track of my relative sexual attractiveness or lack thereof.
But do you actually care what other people think of you?
That's why I'm in comedy. It's the only reason I'm in comedy. No, I too much care what people think about me, not in that area because that's not an area of my life I'm exploring anymore. But if I could change one thing about myself, I would have an operation. I've probably said this before. I would have an operation and remove the part of my brain that cares what other people think of me because it's too big. I care too much what other people think and, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it is exhausting.
And I don't like that aspect of my personality. I think that's what I would like to change the most. But yeah, in terms of my, sexiness, no, I don't really care. It's kind of a moot point. But everything else, yes. Which is too bad. That's not good.
Yeah, it's sad.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what else you wanted me to say. It is sad to care that much.
I don't know if it's sad. I think we all care to some extent what people think of us. I don't care what people think about me, like, physically. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, beauty is subjective. Also, comedy is subjective. If you like me, you like me. If you don't like me, you don't like me. It's just when I'm in front of a crowd, that's when I care about what people think.
Right.
That's the only thing that really, truly matters. Acting is subjective.
Yeah.
If I'm on a TV and you hate it and you're in your basement, that's fine with me.
Right. Oh, I actually don't. If I don't go on social media at all, because I'm always stunned when comedians or anyone tells me, I was on your show, but then I was reading all these comments afterwards. And mm-hmm. a lot of people said nice things, but one person said, you suck. And I thought, that is the last thing in the world I would ever do, is go trolling through social media to see what random people I'm never going to meet.
Sometimes
who probably don't
do
like
it.
Me anyway. Do you really?
Yeah.
That's masochistic.
Well, I'm waiting for someone to tell me something I don't know. I know
really?
I'm fat. I know I'm black. I know I might not be funny to you because it's subjective, but I'm waiting for someone to be like, your heart is black and your soul is dark and here's why. And then I'll be like, oh, okay, thank you.
Hey, you're right.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
I am the Antichrist.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for someone to tell me something I don't know.
You know another difference between us? I don't have any tattoos. I have freckles.
Mm.
But you get tattoos.
Yes, you have God's tattoos, and I have man-made tattoos.
You know what my mother told me when I was a kid?
What?
I had all these freckles. They were much more pronounced when I was a kid. I mean, I just was one of those kids that was just spotted all mm-hmm. over. And I didn't like it. And I told my mom, I don't like these freckles. Why do I have them? And she said, it's where angels kissed you. And at the time, I was sort of like, huh? And then later on, as life went on, I thought, that's just weird. That's weird and kind of gross.
That's so cute. But also, these are very tiny angels with very small lips.
Yeah. And there's a little creepiness to it.
A little
bit. Get off that little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that many angels.
Yeah. You know, like, it's thousands of angels orgy, descended on yeah. me. And why were they kissing my low back? You know? You know what I mean? Yeah. Does anyone?
Yeah. That is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Sweet, but creepy if you break it down and think about it.
But you've gone for the tattoos.
Yes. I have, I think, 15 now.
15?
I think. So I have a bicycle on my arm. Underneath it says "Little Fatty." And then I have I have a little pig with wings, an elephant, a flamingo.
Oh, these are cute.
It says "Goodnight World," which is a matching tattoo I have with my best friend Sashir. On my butt, I have an ice cream cone, a lollipop, and a cupcake, and it says, it's sweet, just taste it. And then next to it, I have a hot dog and a hamburger, and it says, stick it in these buns. And on the other butt cheek, I have
a
chili pepper that says, muy caliente.
Oh my God. These men must be getting eye strain, like, just from all that reading.
Well, okay, I got it for, you know, someone to, like, have a break and have something to read back there.
Put on glasses.
But nobody's ever read it. Nobody's ever been like, well, what great jokes you got back there. No one's ever said it. And then I was dating this dude while I got the hamburger and the hot dog, and it was like taped up because I had just gotten it that day. And I was like, did you notice my new tattoo? And he's like, yeah, I noticed that you were bandaged, but I didn't want to stop fucking you to see what it was. And I was like, okay, so these are pointless. These are just for me.
Yeah. Well, man, that's incredible. That's an incredible number of tattoos. I think if I got a tattoo, I would get one tattoo, and it would be on my chest, and it would say, I was murdered. And then that way, the coroner, whenever I do go, mm-hmm. probably of natural causes, they would have to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They would, like, take off the sheet and it would say, I was murdered. And if you're the coroner, well, even if I was 88 years old and had pneumonia, you'd be like, we got to look into this.
But you'd have to get it tattooed to look like it was etched in your skin.
Mm. Yeah.
Because otherwise, if it's just in, like, typewriter font, it's like, oh, well, he's funny.
Oh. I would say, this is not a joke. I was murdered.
This is not a joke. I was murdered.
Investigate. I don't know. I think that's a cool tattoo to get.
I also have dumb tattoos. I have a bunch of tattoos that I made on Microsoft Word because...
What?
What kind of... This is Microsoft Word clip art. And then on my shoulder here, I have some Microsoft font. And then on my ankles, because I went to a tattoo shop, saw the, what it's called, flash on the walls. I saw that and I was like, oh, they can only copy. I don't want what everybody else has. I'll make my own at home. Not thinking that everyone has Microsoft Word, and it's widely available. So that's, and then I figured out later that tattoo artists can draw whatever you want.
Yes.
So yeah, I have one.
It's funny. It's just like saying
three, four, five. Five Microsoft Word tattoos.
It's like saying, I don't understand. It's like, well, I have the Exxon logo. I also have Crest toothpaste logo. I have the McDonald's arches on my ass. It's just, yeah, you're like a race car with corporate sponsorship.
Kind of.
Pennzoil. This has been fun. I have to say, I was really looking forward to talking to you because every time I talk to you, it's effortless. I love it. I have a blast, and I feel better afterwards.
You know? Conan, yeah. Thank you.
No, I'm serious.
I like talking to you. It's very nice. You're a very kind person.
Oh, thank you.
Like my first appearance, you came to the dressing room and you like gave me a hug like we were old friends, and I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Well, that's nice. No, I think I'm a nice person.
Yeah, but you don't have to be.
No, I didn't realize that. I've had a lot of people say that to me. I just did this tour and Ron Funches would say, you're nice to other people, strangers, as if that was a weird thing. And I was like,
it is. When people get a level of success, they tend to like forget that other people have feelings. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I've met people who, you know, are famous or whatever, and they're not nice. And you're just like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I hope to never be like that.
No. Well, a lot of that, I don't know. I think it's I have really good parents. They did a really good job. So that's them. But I love this. I really love talking to you. And I'm glad that you're excited to be my friend.
I am.
And I will say this, you're one of the cooler friends I have. You know, you really are. You're very, and I think you're going to help me on my journey because I think I need to channel not all of Nicole Byer, but like some Nicole
Just
Byer.
Just a little bit.
I need some Nicole Byer in me.
Okay. Here's something you could do. One day when you have nothing to do, wake up, put on a real wacky outfit. Ask one of your kids to just plan the day for you and then do whatever they want to do. And it'll probably be stupid because kids, they're dumb, you know? So, and then if you just fully embrace it and do it, you might just, I don't know, get out of your comfort zone a little bit.
My son would probably have me rob a bank.
Then yeah, rob a bank.
All right, I'm going to rob a bank.
Well, no, like do a weird little adventure where you're not actually committing a crime, but like case a bank.
I'm going to case a bank. And then when I'm arrested for hanging around a bank and taking pictures, they'll be like, my son.
Yeah, be like, my son.
My 13-year-old son told
bonding.
Me to.
I'm getting out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. I'm out of my comfort zone. That's why I taped a knife to my calf.
With a tattoo that says I was murdered.
Yeah. And then there's a tattoo. What's this tattoo? I was murdered. Investigate.
Look, man.
Well, thank you so much for coming here.
Thank you for having me.
Nicole Byer, I love her. I'm a fan. I love her. And I'm down. I'm down. What does that even mean?
I don't know, but that's very funny. I'm down.
You know?
Yeah.
Sona doesn't like it when I say peace out Tupac in my emails.
Or pay them bills. When what? You say that, you say pay them bills.
I never said that.
Yeah.
Like on an email?
No.
Or in person?
In, on this podcast.
Oh, right. We have
more
recorded.
More than a few times.
We have recorded evidence that
yes.
I said that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm an idiot. Thank
no,
you.
No, you're not.
Oh, okay.
No, you're a very smart man. You're wearing glasses. That's how we know you're smart.
These are just drawn on.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah. I think it's time for a little true and false with Sona, my trusty assistant, because I'm finding that people are really fascinated with our relationship. It's not the traditional boss-assistant relationship. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, it's not the traditional, like, I'm scared of my boss and I respect him.
But, I mean, you have...
I'm sorry.
There's some respect there, I'm guessing.
There's some.
Okay. Well, this is a true thing that happened. I think you're just going to say this is true. I'm talking about a text that you sent me a couple of days ago.
Yes.
It was about your dog and your dog. Is this true? And this is true, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is an absolutely true story. Your dog's name is?
My dog's name is Oki.
Oki after?
It's my husband and I were in honeymooning in Okinawa when we decided we wanted to adopt her. We didn't adopt her from Okinawa.
Right. But that's where you made the decision. So you call her Oki.
Yes.
And I've met Oki. Oki's a cute dog.
Yes. Oki.
Yeah. Oki. So Oki is the spelling, and that's important. So Sona sends me this text a couple of days ago as a work day. And the text basically says that Oki was really, really sick. Because sometimes you do send me texts that say I'm going to be a little late because something came up.
Because I'm responsible.
Yeah, sometimes I'm going to be late because I'm going to go hat shopping. But because that's a 50s cliche I love to hang on to. Women love their hats. But you sent me a text in the morning that basically the message was that you were going to be late.
Mm-hmm.
But the text said that it was all because your dog had gotten sick and made a mess in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you realize, but you have kind of a casual texting style, and you sent this text. So I'm busy in the morning. You know me. I'm working out. I'm shaving my chest.
God, ew.
What do you mean, ew?
I'm sorry.
That's a nice image for everyone out there. There's a lot of stuff I do in the morning to prepare my body for the day. No, I'm getting ready.
Oh, come on.
What's true? Various trimmings and various waxings.
Please stop.
Various abrasive...
Oh, God.
Abrasive emoluments. But anyway, I'm getting ready. And then I'm dressed and I'm ready to go. And I look at my phone and I see there's a text from you. And it says that basically, and what I see is that because of you spelled it quickly or whatever, I see okay and then the I is separated. And so what I see is, okay, I threw up and there's vomit everywhere and shit all over the floor. Shit everywhere. So there's vomit and there's shit. So I'm going to clean it up. So I'm going to be a little late. And I looked at it and I'm like, I typed back, what? ?? Because basically you just told me, as far as I understand it, because I forgot your dog's name and I forgot. So what I hear is like, okay, I'm sick. I've been throwing up everywhere. And then I started shitting on the floor. And then I shit all over the floor and then threw up some more and then shit in other places. So now I got to clean it up and I'll be right in. And I swear to God, I was thinking, I understand why she should be throwing up. I didn't understand why you were dropping your pants and shitting all over the floor. And then the part I really didn't understand is why you would then race into work. So I wrote you what? All these question marks. And you got kind of pissed like, what? Dude, my dog's sick. Right?
I know.
This is true.
You said what? Like you were, it was, I honestly didn't expect that to be the response. And I was like, what part of my dog is shitting and vomiting does he not understand?
Oh, Oki, not okay, I. But that is a typical day.
And
that is a true story. And I told my kids that story 2 nights ago, and it's the hardest I've seen either one of them laugh. And we have a no swear policy in our house, but I said, before I tell this story, I'm going to use the SH word because it's just a funnier story. And they were, obviously, they were fine with it. They were like, yeah, go for it, man. But my son was doubled over, like crying laughing.
Right. And when you said what, I remember I doubled down and I was like, Oki is shitting and vomiting. There's a lot of shit and a lot of vomit.
Yeah.
And I just kept repeating.
Right. I know. And it was a who's on first routine brought up to the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
No, it was good. It was before the day even started.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, with Sonam Ovsesian and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Chris Bannon and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Special thanks to Jack White for the theme song. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and the show is engineered by Will Beckton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is sponsored by ADT. Introducing ADT self-setup, featuring everything from motion sensors to Google Nest cams and the Nest doorbell with a battery or wired option. Easily install the ADT self-setup security system at your convenience. This is so good because I can't set up anything.
I know, me neither.
And they've made it simple. Do
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm terrible. I can't get an electric toothbrush to function properly.
Yeah, so easy even Conan O'Brien can do it.
That's what they should say from now on.
Yeah.
No heavy-duty tools are needed. And if you need help, ADT can provide virtual assistance along the way. Also features Nest cams that can tell the difference between a person, an animal, a vehicle, or with the Nest doorbell, even a package.
That's cool.
That's cool. Plus, yeah. when every second counts, you can trust ADT's 24/7 professional monitoring. Go to ADT.com today or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. Google, Nest Cam, Nest Doorbell, and Nest Aware are trademarks of Google LLC.